Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, May 12, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Washington lawmakers finalized report to State Supreme Court on education funding. In the Cleary case, iMinerals says it will start digging open pit mine near Beauville in 2 years, pending financing, and Idaho State Supreme Court election funding revealed. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Washington legislative leaders met yesterday to finalize a report to the state Supreme Court on their progress meeting the demands of the McCleary decision, which requires the legislature to fully fund secondary education in the state. Currently, wealthier school districts are paying more money for basic education through property taxes, which districts in poorer communities are going without funding the Supreme Court says the state should provide. The High Court has sanctioned the legislature $100,000 each day schools are not adequately funded. The report from the Legislative Education Funding Task Force gives details of a plan passed by the legislature this year to finish funding education, but lawmakers do not yet know where the money will come from. According to the Associated Press, Democratic Senator Christine Rolfes of Bainbridge Island said, "I think the biggest weakness is what we didn't do, but we'll see what the court says. They might not think it's a problem." Republican Senator Joe Fain of Auburn said he doesn't think these sanctions will have much impact, but pressure from families will. The Office of Program Research reported to the task force that 20% of the average teacher's salary in Washington is paid for by money that doesn't come directly from the state. That amounts to $13,500 per year per teacher. For school administrators, 50% does not come from the state. That's about $54,422 per administrator. The Washington Department of Transportation says it has reached a decision with the Washington State Patrol and the Washington Traffic Safety Commission not to increase the speed limit on a 100-mile section of Interstate 90 to 75 miles per hour. The proposed speed limit increase would have impacted the section of Interstate from George to the Spokane County line, which goes through a sparsely populated area of the Columbia Basin. The current speed limit on the highway segment is 70. The Washington Traffic Safety Commission said there would be an average of 1.27 fatal or serious collisions if the speed limit were to be raised. The speed limit increase would have saved 5 minutes travel time on the 100-mile stretch of highway. Second District Judge Carl Carrick in Moscow has turned down convicted murderer David Meister's motion for post-conviction relief. A jury convicted Meister of Moscow of first-degree murder in 2003. The charges stemmed from the December 2001 shooting death of Tanya Hart at Hart's trailer home north of Moscow. Meister was convicted twice in the murder case. The Idaho Supreme Court ordered a new trial, saying the lower court had erred by not allowing Meister to present evidence that an alternate perpetrator had killed Hart. Judge Carrick wrote in a decision issued Tuesday, "Meister had not presented sufficient evidence to back up his claims." Meister, who is 33 years old, is serving a life sentence. Second District Judge Carl Carrick denied a motion requesting a new trial from convicted Moscow murderer Charles Capone this week. Capone claimed there is new evidence, meaning he should be granted a new trial. The new evidence presented to the judge was the cellmate of Capone's co-defendant, David Stone, had said under oath that the body of Capone's wife, Rachel Anderson, would not be found in the Snake River near Clarkston because she's not there. In his ruling Tuesday, Judge Carrick said the statement by cellmate Tyler Beyer is hearsay and not material evidence. He said if the statement was available at the time of Capone's trial, it would not have led to an acquittal. Capone was sentenced to life in prison for murder. Co-defendant David Stone, who testified against Capone, was convicted of failure to notify law enforcement of a death. iMinerals CEO Thomas Conway announced yesterday the British Columbia-based mining company would begin operations northwest of Beauville within the next 2 years. The open face mine, which would extract several minerals, would not be the first one in the area. J.R. Simplot operated a mine there from the 1950s to the 1970s. The mine would operate on state land administered by the Idaho Department of Lands and is expected to extract 21.3 million tons of resources, including K. feldspar, quartz, kaolin, and halieutite, all of which are used in common consumer products. According to Conway, the mine would be productive for 26 years and would provide up to 120 jobs that typically pay a wage of at least $20 an hour. Most of the positions would go to local residents, Conway said. Minerals mining yields relatively high profits for investors. He said he projects 31% returns on the mine near Beauville. iMinerals says it hopes to secure $108 million in financing this month, which they say they need to start operations. The company has completed the necessary surveys for potential impact on wetlands, vegetation, water, air quality, and wildlife. It still needs to submit an Idaho mine operation and reclamation plan to the Lands Department, obtain an air quality permit through the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, notify the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and get a permit from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to operate a pollutant discharge elimination system. The Potlatch School District held a community forum last night on next week's $14.7 million bond election to renovate its elementary and junior senior high schools. The high school renovation would include a media and writing center, computer lab, kitchen and cafeteria, common area, locker rooms, weight room, band and choir rooms, administrative offices, and 16 classrooms. It would also upgrade the 46-year-old building's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system, ducts, roof, ceiling grids, and tiles. The building was built from prefabricated materials and was intended to stand for 25 years. The district expected Potlatch Corporation, which owned the town, to finance new construction in the 1990s, but the mill closed and the company sold the town to residents in 1981. The elementary school, which was built in 1952, needs similar repairs. If the bond passes with 66.7% of the votes needed next Tuesday, May 17th, construction would begin in 18 months and the building would be ready for use by the fall of 2018. Superintendent Jeff Serka called the renovation an investment in the community's children and future. Resident Gary Brown objected to the scope of the project, arguing the building could be upgraded without reconstruction for only $500,000. The state of Idaho has faced lawsuits in 1975 and again in the 1990s for underfunding public schools. Communities have had to cover an increasing share of costs as state support has declined. According to Serka, 85% of Idaho schools depend on supplemental levies. He said levies covered 15% of operating costs in the late 1990s, but that number has since risen to 35% in some districts. The U.S. Senate Indian Affairs Committee yesterday approved a bill that would compensate the Spokane tribe for land lost due to the construction of the Grand Coulee Dam. The project flooded 11 towns and 70,000 acres of tribal lands along the Columbia and Spokane rivers during the 1940s. The Confederated Colville tribes, which owned much of the inundated land, sued the government in 1951 and waited until 1994 for Congress to approve a $53 million settlement with annual payments of $15 million from the dam's power sales. Bill sponsor, Democratic U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell, said this is at least the fourth time the Senate committee has approved the bill, which has passed through both the House and the Senate, but never in the same year. The bill calls for another $53 million payment to the Spokane tribe and requires the tribe outline a plan for how it would use the funds, which it must direct towards economic and infrastructure development, health, recreation, social welfare, or education. The tribe would also receive an annual payment beginning in 2027 that would increase to 32%. The bill moves to the full Senate next. Current Senate Indian Affairs Committee Chair and Wyoming Republican John Barrasso has sponsored a related bill which would create a new Indian education agency within the Interior Department. Barrasso said the new agency will increase transparency and accountability and better serve Native students. The committee approved the bill over Democrats' objections to an amendment that caps funding at $983 million per year, which represents a decrease in school funding from last year. Idaho Supreme Court candidate Robin Brody has faced criticism for large contributions to her campaign. Brody has raised over $177,000, $27,000 of which came from four agriculture companies tied to Robert Shillington of Jerome. Idaho's Sunshine Law caps donations at $10,000 for statewide candidates per individual donor. Unlike other state offices, Idaho judicial candidates cannot directly solicit campaign contributions. Instead, they must form a committee to do it for them, and contributions become part of the public record. Brody campaign spokesperson and Pocatello attorney James Ruchti said the campaign will dispute the Secretary of State's finding that they broke campaign finance laws because the companies have multiple owners. Deputy Secretary of State Tim Hurst had expected the campaign to give back $17,000. Instead, Ruchti said they will wait for a final decision from the Secretary of State or Attorney General. Brody has received more campaign contributions than her opponents. Clive Strong, whose campaign pointed out Brody's disputed contributions, has raised $51,000. J.R. Simplot, which gave Strong $5,000, is his biggest funder, followed by lawyers and lawmakers from both parties. State Supreme Court candidate Kurt McKenzie, a Republican state senator, has raised $16,000. His donors include Republican lawmakers, lobbyists, the Idaho Association of Realtors, which gave him $5,000, and anti-abortion organization Idaho Chooses Life, which spent $6,000 on advertisements for the McKenzie campaign. Sergio Gutierrez, a judge on Idaho's Court of Appeals, raised $13,000, with $2,000 from James Harrison of New York State. Voters statewide will cast ballots in the Idaho Supreme Court race next Tuesday. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, we're expecting clear skies through tomorrow with a low of 48 tonight and a high of 78 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, low 48 Friday night. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms Saturday afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny, high 70. 70% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm Saturday night. Cloudy, low 49. And on Sunday, 60% chance of showers, thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, cloudy high near 58. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, fair skies, 75 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. At 7:30, music begins with World Waves with Catherine Bonzo. And at 9 o'clock, Confinement Loaf, heavy music, 9 till midnight. The Deep Sleep comes on midnight to 3. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP. 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Lizzie Karp assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are archived on the KRFP website for streaming and download shortly after broadcast. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.